any glimmers that there might have been of a reformed teaching amongst early New Zealand Baptists seems to have largely gone unrecorded anyway. And the particular Baptist heritage that was so common in the UK and in some areas in the US, well, it wasn't really reflected in New Zealand. So we leap ahead to about the 1960s. And the 1960s saw an emergence of a small group of Baptistic believers who became convinced of the importance and the centrality of the sovereignty of God in evangelism and in our wider view of the work of Jesus Christ and in our world view. And attempts to find the acceptance of this view amongst existing Reformed, existing Baptist churches at that time met with some fairly strong opposition. Even on such basic tenets as the inspiration and infallibility of scriptures, we were told that we would have to reassess our whole association with the Union as it was then if we continued to hold to those beliefs. And I would say at this stage we were completely unaware that there were other people in the world who were both Baptist. Having developed a Reformed understanding, there was some commonality with our Reformed Presbyterian friends, and we enjoyed a measure of encouragement from them, but were often told that you really can't be properly Reformed and Baptistic. This sent us back to our Bibles because we were unaware that there were other people like that in the world. But the more we looked at the New Testament, the more we looked at the covenant, the more we became convinced that entrance to the covenant was by faith in Jesus Christ and not by some other connection. Well, a real appetite had been developed for Banner of Truth books, and I hope you're all familiar with Banner of Truth books. And if you're not subscribers to the Banner of Truth magazine, then you should be. Because it was reading an early edition of the Banner magazine in the 1970s that we read of a Baptist Reformed family camp. And this was just like light in the wilderness. Here were people who were Baptistic and Reformed, and they'd been there for a long time, and we hadn't even heard of them. So this was a report of a family camp at which Al Martin, Errol Hulse, Dr. Lloyd-Jones, amongst others, were preaching. So we hurriedly wrote off to these people, and thereon started a correspondence that was hugely encouraging. And particularly, I'd have to say, Errol Hulse was the great encourager that some of you know him to be now. And let me assure you, in those days, he was even more enthusiastic. And those of you who met him will know how enthusiastic he still is. We then learnt that names like John Bunyan and William Carey and Charles Spurgeon were men that indeed held to the same things that we held to. And as I say, we had particular encouragement from Errol Hulse and the correspondence that followed there. And a small group of about 15 or so believers in Auckland met together on Sunday evenings in Auckland for Bible study, until such time as we realised that our fellowship and our nurture was really being provided by that fellowship rather than the congregations that we were meeting with in the morning. And so, under encouragement for Errol's church in Cookfield, and a visit from their great ambassador, Stanley Hogwood. Does anyone know Stanley Hogwood? Did you meet Stanley Hogwood, David? A great old saint at Cookfield. Came to New Zealand, and again, he was an encourager. This was someone in the flesh from another country who was Baptist and Reformed. Marvellous. So, on the 11th of February 1973, the first service was held in our lounge, in fact. And from that group, Sovereign Grace Church emerged. And after considerable time, we looked at, what about our statement of faith? What are the things we believe distinctively in New Zealand? And we spent a long time studying the scriptures and working through until finally we came to the 1689. Or should I say, we came back to the 1689 and realised that there was the essence of what we believed. And it's significant that today in 2005 we've established a fellowship of Reformed Baptist churches based on that same confession, applying it to our day and our circumstances. Well, in an attempt to reach to a wider audience with a wonderful message of God's sovereignty and all that meant, we began holding conferences, and I think the first was in 1973, in September of 73, when Errol Hulse actually came to New Zealand. And we never worked anyone as hard as we worked Errol that Saturday that we had the conference. I think he preached something like five times. And Errol doesn't hold back when he preaches. By that time, we had 140 people attending. The conference was held at Logan Park, I think, wasn't it, Michael? And great time of rejoicing. And that was really an encouragement. We had speakers as well as Errol, like Winford Davies, Ken Campbell, and others. So that was the beginnings of Reformed Baptist Witness in New Zealand. And almost at the same time, David, I think, returned from the UK. David, was it?
Yes.
Around about that time. And we began an association with David, and in 1970 saw the beginning of the second Reformed Baptist Church in New Zealand, Emmanuel, under David's gracious and wise leadership. And I would say there are two people that are outstanding in the whole, we're going to say evolution, if that's a word able to be used within this building, the evolution of the Reformed Baptist group. One name stands out, and that's, to me, David Yan. I was just looking at 1 Corinthians 15, where we're told, stand firm, let nothing move you, always give yourself wholly to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. And that, to me, epitomises David's contribution to the existence of this body and of the continued witness of the Reformed Baptist group. So David established Emmanuel Church in 1974, met in a public hall in St. John's Ambulance Hall, wasn't it, David? Yeah, in Epsom. And we used to, I think, speak for one another on occasions, and that was encouraging. A wonderful service to a lot of overseas students in those days. A lot of them went back to Singapore, and that led David to look at establishing a work in Singapore, following up these students that had returned home, and Shalom Reformed Baptist Church emerged, largely under David's care and enthusiasm and perseverance, and still remains a witness in Singapore today. During that time, or we're getting into the early 80s, I think now, a Reformed Baptist group emerged in Hamilton. The second great name, I think, in the Reformed Baptist movement is David Stern. And David and a number of others who had been at the Hamilton South Church and been under Stephen Turner's ministry when he was there, before he went to that wonderful Iswith and Jeff Thomas's church, and further to studies there. There emerged a group from there, and amongst them was David Stern, who, convinced of the doctrines of grace, began meeting. And in 1980, after consultation with various other churches in Auckland and wider, the Hamilton Reformed Baptist Church held its commissioning service and set aside David Stern as elders. Are there any here that were here at that service? Apart from you, Aucklanders. I think John, was John McLean, where's David? Was John McLennan here for that? John was here, yeah, yeah. And yes, we met in David's lounge room. And here you are now, because of the faithfulness of men like Stephen sowing the seed, like David taking it on. And now David Marshall came. John Levis was here in 19... what year was it, John? 1981. John was called to the pastorate here, and then David Marshall came in 92. As I mentioned, Stephen had been over in Wales completing his studies there. 1982, came back and was associated with the Emmanuel Church, and then looked for the emergence of a work in the North Shore. And the North Shore Church in 1984, I think Stephen was set aside for leading this work in the North Shore, and the North Shore Baptist Reformed Church was established. And again, a wonderful addition and enlarging of the Reformed Baptist witness. About these times, these churches began cooperating together and having conferences, and they also were a means of great encouragement. And we had people like Ian Murray. In fact, we had Ian Murray repeatedly don't remember rightly. We also had camps at that stage, I think, didn't we, over here in Narrawatia? And again, we had Ian Murray and others over to that. And we had Jeff Thomas. We were just talking about him at the afternoon tea, and it would be great to have him back again. Brian Ellis from the Philippines, John Blanchard. What other names spring to mind? That's right. Yes. Douglas McMillan, Donald McLeod. Refreshing times, challenging times. This time there was an Irish pastor who used to come up for these conferences and really enjoy them. And his name was Alfie Orr from Timaru. And Alfie was pastor of the Marshfield Church in Timaru. And under his leadership, the church took on a reform stance, and in the 1689 confession, was that established before you got there, John? It was. So that was under Alfie's ministry. And now in 1988, John took up the pastorate there and serves there. 1998, did I say 88? I'm sorry, 1998. And once again, another growing of the Reformed Baptist group in New Zealand. 1986 saw the return of Peter Reynolds from studies in Westminster. And after a brief association with Sovereign Grace Church, he established the Witness in Manukau. And now Dawi is looking after that work. And again, the spread of the churches grew. Now, at this stage, David Stern had moved from Hamilton. And I think, Stephen, he was with you for a while, wasn't he, in the North Shore? A great encourager and a great worker. And then David moved down to Christchurch. And there was a group of Reformed Baptists meeting there with the EPC Church. And gradually, they were led to look at a distinctive Reformed Baptist work there in the early 90s. And 1995, I think, Duffus, you were called to the work there. And there he is still there. And again, the reaching out of these, of which we're witnessing today, something that's substantial. Other groups have emerged. Tauranga in 1999 with Andrew Kirkham. Tamaki was established in 2002. Last year we have the Dunedin Reformed Baptist Fellowship with Tony Hewson, who would have liked to have been here today but was unable. And then earlier on this year, the Palmerston North Reformed Baptist Fellowship was formed with Ian Fuller, who's here, and with Alan Lloyd. Meeting there and looking at the establishment of a church in due course. So you can see how all these things have emerged really from the encouragement of one another, and I guess that's why we felt it so important to see this day occur, when as churches who hold together that commonality of our understanding of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ and the importance of the Scriptures, we're able to express this in this way. And as well as the churches, the fellowships that have emerged, we're conscious also of those groups in Wellington with Chris Good and in Masterton with Grant Phillips, and not to forget Mike in New Plymouth. Right. So that's just a brief history of how we've got here. And we've got here because the Lord has been persevering with us and has a purpose for us. And we can look forward with anticipation to his fulfilling that.